Tigo operator.
Joined. Joined.
Alan.
Joined.
Welcome back, Ellen.
Thank you.
Tim Cole.
Joined.
Cheryl.
Joined.
Hello, Tim. It's Alan.
Hi, Tim.
Hello.
Hi, Tim. Cheryl here.
Hi, Cheryl. Seems like we do nothing but get on calls.
You know, it's scary, Tim, but some people actually talk to me more often than we talk to each other.
They're the lucky ones, right?
Oh, no, not necessarily. Paul, Sebastian and Alan have already had an hour of us this morning, so...
Luckily,
my morning, your evening. Alan, you want to do the main management of this meeting? I'll just identify callers and things as required, but the thing is it's very much in your...
I'd be glad to. Don't think I have a lot to say other than to introduce Tim, who's going to brief us on the way forward on RAA issues.
Oh, okay. Tim, you're happy to, I know it's just past the hour, but are you happy to leave more minutes for people to dial in?
Sure, yeah, that would be probably a good idea.
Well, otherwise you'll be preaching to the converted.
Cheryl, specifically, given the way I was somewhat Satanized over my prior handling of this issue over the last couple of weeks, I am not going to do anything which will do that again.
Ah, look, it's fun working with the public.
Jed?
Joined.
Hi, Sebastian. Tim's on the call.
Hi.
Oh.
I took these 5 minutes
you're
to...
There, are you? Are we going to put up a chat for this, or are we using the Adobe Connect room?
We don't have an Adobe Connect room. I don't know, Tim, are you on Skype?
No.
No? Cheryl, do you want me to open up an Adobe Connect room? It'll take
Liz Gasser.
Joined.
Hello, who was that?
Well, Tim, do you have a PowerPoint presentation that goes along with this?
No, I don't. I was more expecting just a dialogue.
Okay, well that's fine. If you don't have anything that we need to put up on it, that's fine. Matthias, are you going to try and capture the minutes then manually, or how do you want to do that?
Yeah, I can do. Yeah, just take notes.
Okay. Who just joined us?
Danny.
Hi, Danny.
Joined.
Hi, Tim is on the call.
And Liz
joined.
Gaster just joined.
Sorry, I missed that.
Liz Gaster from ICANN staff.
Hi, Liz.
Hello.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, Alan.
Hello, Alan.
Okay, let's give it another couple of minutes. We're feeling generous here today. We're full of seasonal joy and generosity, so we'll give them another couple of minutes to dial in.
Since we don't have anyone yet who requested the briefing, that's reasonable.
Well, there is that, yep. Oh, hang on, Danny.
That's
Danny probably is part of the requesting group.
Pardon me?
Danny didn't specifically request.
I didn't hear Danny. I didn't hear Danny coming on.
No, Danny's here. Danny requested the briefing before the 18th, but, you know.
Hey, you can't have it all.
Well, yeah,
we had requested the briefing several weeks before that.
Correct.
Mm. Yep. Okay, this is a recorded call. So, Matthias, in a couple of moments when we begin, if the MP3, the link to the MP3 and the notes from this dialogue can go out to the at-large list as soon as possible. I think that's probably the best we can do in the absence of people dialing in.
Matthias, sometime soon, can you take the vote that was taken on the request to defer the decision in the GNSO, and so we can see who it was who voted which way?
Excuse me, which vote is that?
The vote that ended up voting 7-2-1 to ask the GNSO to defer a decision.
Okay.
As far as I can tell, that's a hands-up vote. There's no reason not to put, not to make the information available. Is that correct, Cheryl?
We normally let people know in advance of the vote if it's. But yeah, I mean, it can be a hands-up vote. I don't have a problem one way or the other.
I mean, I'd like you or someone to contact the people who said please defer pending this briefing, if they're not on this briefing.
I understand what you're meaning. Yep, right. Yep. Okay, well, Matthias, perhaps we'll do that. No, Heidi and I will do that because we'll get that done either in the next 36 hours before staff have a break, or we'll pick it up immediately after. Okay,
okay.
I'll own that issue.
Thank you.
Not a problem. Okay.
And let me just give you an update on the Norello side, if it's okay with Cheryl, as long as we don't have any participants on the call yet.
Well, Tim's probably ready to start, so yes, Danny, if you want to go ahead.
No, I'll defer to Tim. That's okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm mostly here to try to answer questions to the extent that I can. My I believe the primary concern, and please correct me if I'm misstating this, is assuming that the current set of proposed changes go forward, what will the options be after that for subsequent changes or amendments? Is that a fair?
No, I think we need to go about one step back from there.
I agree with
that. What are the options as of today? I presented what I think Kurt Pritz had presented in Cairo.
Okay.
The group was not happy with that, believing that those could not be the options, and I must have gotten it wrong. And we requested a briefing from staff going back to the Thursday in Cairo where Kurt Pritz came into the room and saying, what are the options at this point in pursuing the RIA amendments, which includes what happens after the GNSO takes whatever action they may take.
Okay.
But steps back to what is staff's position and the board's position on how this goes forward, period.
Okay. Well, I can't speak for the board's position, and I can only speak for what my understanding is, and I hope it's...
That's all we ask you to
say. I was hoping to have someone from our legal team on the call, too, just in case, but unfortunately, they have another meeting happening right at the same time. Let me see if I can try to rephrase reframe the issue. First of all, the RAA itself has certain provisions in it that deal with when a substitute contract or a revised contract can be required of a registrar upon renewal, and that is pretty explicit in the RAA that it must be adopted using what they called a consensus process within the context of the RAA, keeping in mind that the consensus process defined in this 2001 contract isn't identical to the PDP process today.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. You're referring to the right to substitute updated contract clause.
Correct.
That particular clause does not refer to the consensus policy process.
It refers to Section 4. Do you have it in front of you?
I can get it in front of me in a minute, yes.
Yeah, that would probably be helpful because if you're going to quote the contract, I would like to know what section you're referring to. It specifically talks about the right to substitute, and it says that in order for it to substitute, it must be done in accordance with subsection 2.3 and subsection 4.3 of the RAA.
Kurt?
Joined.
Welcome, Kurt.
Sorry.
No, perfect timing.
That's my aim.
Kurt, I was just trying to sort of reiterate what you had. Alan asked us to go back in time a little bit and basically clarify what was explained to the GNSO on that Thursday afternoon in Cairo in terms of the options going forward. I had just started to explain the RAA provision, and Danny was questioning, so I'm just waiting for him to pull up a copy of the contract so we can clarify his understanding.
Okay. So I know we've got Alan and Danny, so I guess.
Yep.
And Cheryl and Tim and me.
And Sebastian. And Liz.
Okay, look, the language in Section 5.4 that refers to subsection 2.3 and 4.3 only indicates that the registrar is going to be required to agree by the terms and conditions that I can adopt in accordance with 4.3. That doesn't mean that the process has to go through 4.3. It's simply positing a future arrangement where an agreement will, in fact, be put into place, indicating that 4.3 will continue to exist in the contract.
So what's your, do you have an alternative method, Danny, that you're thinking of?
Now, what I'm thinking of is this. The point that I'm trying to get across is we started out in 1999 with the first contract, and yet we managed to get a contract in place in 2001 by hook or crook without a consensus policy process. You've got two clauses in your contract currently, one, the right to substitute an updated agreement, and the other being the amendments and waivers clause. So why, Kurt, are you putting forward the point of view that the only way forward for the GNSO is by way of consensus policy when that wasn't done in 2001, and you've got other contract options available to you now?
What are the other ones? Well, because I think that, I think this. One is we're using the word consensus policy, but it's not PDP as we're familiar with it. It's consensus policy is defined in 4.3 of that agreement, which includes, you know, after a reported vote of the GNSO Council and some action by the board. So I think that if we adopt the set of amendments according to that, then that is a really clear, forceful indication or forceful way of adopting amendments that where we're not going to get disagreement or argument from registrars as to the effectiveness of the amendment. So we saw, you know, if we fail at this, you know, we're not going to go away and say, well, there's no amendments. But we thought that this would, if we can do it this way, it's a very effective way to do it. In that, you know,
all right, so it seems rather odd that given the fact that you've got two other options in your own contract that you can invoke, that you chose not to go by those.
So which of those sections?
The right to substitute an updated agreement and the amendments and waivers clause.
So point those out to me, okay. And I'm on dial-up, so be careful. So what section are you looking at?
All right, let me find the amendments and waivers clause for you.
It's sections 5.4 and 5.14.
That's correct, right.
5.14, looking at it, to me, it seems like both parties have to agree, which means every registrar would have to agree.
Well, at the moment, we seem to have an understanding that registrars have agreed to these things.
Danny, we would have to go out to each of 945 registrars and get them to sign on, and I can guarantee you that not all of them will.
Well, yeah, so anyway.
Well,
so,
I mean, you're only talking about 350. Because of the short
I think it's less than that, but you're right.
And in principle, this bargaining group that's acting on behalf of the registrars should have authority over most of those folks.
Oh, no. I think that leads to, I don't know, I can't even say the word antitrust on the phone.
Yeah, it's a recorded call, remember, gentlemen.
So I'm reading 5.4. Because we talked, I remember we talked about this clause.
Well, we've gotten a pretty explicit guidance from the General Counsel's office on this as well.
So, and then I can't wait. It says, in effect, so it'll be entitled to renewal, provided it meets the accreditation or criteria. Then, in effect. And as it may be amended, as it may be amended, it's bound by terms, that I can adopt in accordance with Section 2.3 and 4.3. So it says that in the renewal, the amendment has to be adopted in accordance with Section 2.3 and 4.3, which is what we're doing.
Which somehow Danny doesn't believe that's how that reads, but
what are you thinking, Danny?
maybe I'm just reading it different, guys. But
well, you are, so I want to get an understanding of how you're reading it.
All right, look, rather than to prolong the discussion on this particular point, I think what we really want to get at is if the GNSO moves forward on a consensus policy basis, the first question that I have to ask is, do they necessarily need to treat this matter as a package?
Yeah, so I think yes. I think that this isn't a PDP. And so if they want to, you know, furnish a recommendation that we adopt a package of amendments that's been created through this process that was created by the board and, you know, has gone through this amount of public comment, that's one thing. I think if they want to, you know, unilaterally is the wrong word, but if the GNSO as a group wants to take up and debate and discuss and develop then their own set of amendments, that requires a policy development under their rules for policy development, which would mean, which would require, an issues report and a terms of reference, and then they're often running and can craft their own set of amendments that are inside the picket fence that would allow them to individualize, you know, consider amendments individually and tailor them the way they want to. So I think that's why that's a little different, because here we're operating without any of those formalities of the PDP process. We're just working toward a process described in the contract and recommended by the ICANN board through a resolution, a combination of those two things.
Kurt, when was that resolution? I looked through the minutes, and I couldn't find a resolution.
Oh, yeah.
That.
Well, so that's probably because your computer only goes back 13 or 14 years, and this is before then.
You're talking about the board resolution?
Yeah, when was that?
It was in Puerto Rico, San Juan meeting.
Okay. I didn't look that far back.
Yeah, see? Which has all been somewhat frustrating, you know, frustrating to you guys, I'm sure, and frustrating to us also.
It's only a year and a half.
Yeah. All right, Kurt, look, my concern from the registrant side is that I honestly don't think that the staff has bargained in good faith with the registrant community. When the entire register fly thing got started, the single biggest issue affecting those registrants was that here we had a registrar taking their money that they put aside for renewal of the domain, and yet renewals did not happen.
Right.
And I'm not seeing anything in the new amendments to address the primary issues that came out of the register fly situation. And, okay, we've had to put up with a year and a half of your staff organization negotiating with these registrars. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, all I can say is we've lost a year and a half, and we haven't gained anything with regard to the actual issues that were on the table. And I'm frustrated by this situation, and I've seen you recently introduce brand new amendments, but still nothing that goes to the heart of the matter that originally brought this entire process into play.
Well, I don't entirely agree to that. There's amendments that go to the root cause of the registrar issue. For example, the method in which Register Fly gained its accreditation is addressed in the amendments that.
All right, I'll grant you that, but I still see nothing to make a registrant whole. I mean, in the event that the same situation comes up in the future, where is the protection for the registrant?
But I think that, so I might be wrong, but aren't the protections you're talking about already protections? I mean, aren't they legal duties of the registrar? When a registrar takes money in order to renew a name, isn't it obligated, just like any business, isn't it obligated to fill that order?
If ICANN enforces that.
You know, the problem, part of the problem is that the registrar has a contract with the registrant, and ICANN is not the entity that enforces that contract.
But we did it. We did enforce it. I mean,
well, yeah, we do it.
I don't know what language in the agreement And I'm really anxious. I really want to hear what you're thinking. I don't think any language in the agreement would give ICANN more authority to say, you know, if you take money for a registration and then don't renew it, that's already an illegal activity, and ICANN can go after the registrar for that. So for example, one of the things in the new, I don't have the amendments in front of me.
Kurt, I understand you can go after the registrar, but how does that cure the situation for the registrant?
Well, but Danny, everything in the RIA is between ICANN and the registrar, and that's who we go after. It's not registrant. I'm not quite sure what a different kind of provision would function differently. Maybe, I just need to understand that.
Well, for example, you've got provisions in place right now that deal with escrow. So in the event that a registrar goes under, there are certain protections for registrants in place because you know who the beneficial parties are.
Right.
You're in a position to turn over business to a new entity to continue to protect that registrant. What provisions are in place to continue to protect a registrant in the event that his current registrar is failing to renew?
So I can enforce an agreement, and the only way the registrar can cure the breach is to, you know, renew the name or give the registrant his money back. Right?
All right, and the enforcement actions that you take at this point are limited to what? Strictly de-accreditation, or what?
Yeah, so so I didn't get to it, but another protection for registrants in the agreement are a graduated sanctions program where it's a lot easier to pull the trigger faster than a de-accreditation. So there's monetary sanctions, and there's the ability to suspend the ability to register names.
All right, so let's just point to a current example. We all know that at the moment, GoDaddy has, for many, many months now, been enforcing an internal policy, a 60-day lockdown when a change of who is happens in violation of your current consensus policy dealing with transfer. And yet, your organization is not taking any action. Obviously, they're the number one registrar, and you're reticent to move forward. Is this what we're going to be expecting in the future?
So we've had, you know, I'm not going to be able to spin up this detail, and I don't know if Tim can or get Mike on to do that, but we had extended discussions with GoDaddy where they've changed their methodology for that, and you know, we think. Anyway, my last reading of it, which was months and months ago, when we had a big fight with GoDaddy about this, and they changed their methodology, and that they're in compliance with this provision.
All right, because let's face it, guys. My big concern is simply that in the future, going forward, you're going to be in a position to take action when necessary, even if it's against one of the big guys, which at the moment it doesn't look like you're positioned to be able to do.
Yeah, well, remember, RegistrFly had 1 million, right?
Well, true.
That was scary as hell. But you know what? The other things we've done is coincident with the RAA changes. You know, we've put into place a procedure for transferring names, and so we're somewhat adept now at calling a meeting of registries, alerting them to the fact that a registrar is going to be terminated or is quitting business, and that those terminations should not be deleted. And even if they expire, and then we have a procedure in place where we can quickly, you know, port the name, you know, get in interest from gaining registrars and port the name over. So that's worked in the case of RegistrFly, which was probably down to 500,000 by the time we transferred all the names. And in the case of a lot of smaller registrars.
All right, that's helpful. Alan, did you have any particular questions you wanted to raise?
Well, I'd like it reiterate. I'd like either reiterate it or state in your mind, in the staff mind, presumably the board, what are the options at this point?
So I think the options are for the GNSO Council to. I think the options are for the GNSO Council to, make some sort of recommendation for the board. I don't know how far to back up with this. It's such a, we have, Alan, we have talked, sat around a conference room table and talked about this question for hours and hours. So, but I really briefly, I think the options are for the council to approve the amendments as a set or not approve the amendments as a set. In either case, it can, in a subsequent vote to that vote, vote to undertake an issues report on RAA changes. And the reason why I say I think it should be a separate vote is because an issues report doesn't require, the support this does. This thing requires a two-thirds approval. An issues report, I think, only requires a one-third approval. So I don't think the vote should be lumped into one. And then I think after that vote, it's for the board to take some action. So the board could, if the GNSO Council, I think, and our legal staff thinks, if the GNSO Council approves this set of amendments and that the board approves them, then they have to be adopted by the registrars when their contracts expire, and that ICANN would undertake an incentive policy to get the, that we think would be pretty effective, that would get the registrars to adopt the amendments right away. I think if the GNSO Council does not vote to approve, then the board could still approve the set of amendments, but according to the clauses that, the clauses that Danny just called out, I think they have to be agreed to individually by registrars. And the problem for us is, it's not even we even think the big registrars would be incented, they could be incented to adopt these amendments, but
it's the bad players that you're worried about.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I think.
Let me ask a question. If we were to, if the GNSO were to start a request an issues report and start the process of a PDP, whether it's having approved this package or not, I don't believe the GNSO could ask for an issues report on the RAA. It would have to be much more targeted.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think an issues report is about an issue.
Okay. The question I'm homing in on is there are some terms in the RAA package, in the amendment package as currently structured, which one could perhaps construe to fit.
Carlton Samuels.
Joined.
Which could perhaps be construed to fit under the topics in 4.2, that is the list of allowable subjects for consensus policy. Even the contractual ones, if you look at stability of the DNS. But there's more of a question of whether they really are within the picket fence or not.
Correct.
Is there any worry that registrars, and we're talking about the bad players, will claim they don't need to honor this because issues are not within the 4.2 list?
Well, I think that I think ICANN would take a strong position that this set of amendments was adopted in accordance with the terms outlined in the RAA that was signed, and that it would be incumbent upon registrars to comply with that, and ICANN would enforce those provisions. So, I just don't want to say, no, I don't think it's a problem. I think that if there were issues brought up by registrars, that it was within the picket fence.
Given RegisterFly and some of the other occurrences, one can point to things that if you don't have the ability to enforce contracts, the stability of the DNS is endangered.
Correct.
So I think there's a strong case to be made. I was just wondering to what extent that's been evaluated.
Yeah, well, it has been evaluated because we recognize one of the problems I'm going to use my opportunity here to talk about the new registry agreement for a minute. But yeah, that's one of the problems in the RAA is that it is very difficult to amend. And now we're heading toward an environment where we might have hundreds of, an equal number of registry entities as we do registrar entities now or more.
How did you manage to pull it off in 2001?
I don't know. That was BK. So, I know we asked, I don't know, do you remember, Tim? Because I know we asked that question.
No, I
know there were a lot less. There are a lot fewer number of registrars then. How many registrars were there in 2001?
Under 200, probably closer to 125 or so.
Yeah, well, there was well under 200 when I got here, in 2003.
And they were largely registrars in the traditional sense of the word, as opposed to the large number now that play specialized games.
Right.
All right, I guess what I'm getting at is that in 2001, you did not use a consensus policy approach. There was some other mechanism used.
Yeah.
And the
language, I think we used the individual negotiation approach.
Yeah. And it's your perspective that is not doable at this point?
That's what we think, yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, Paul Toomey was adamant when I suggested that we build up momentum among registrars and get everybody to sign. You were talking about the number of full-time equivalents that would be required to be on the phone to registrars continuously to get them all signed up.
Okay. The next logical question then is, can the GNSO approve a subset of the package and then put the balance out for PDP?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think the, I think that the registrars will, there was a, when you talked about negotiating in good faith, Danny, there's a hell of a lot of good faith on the table, and there was, yelling on my part and my coworkers and yelling back, and there were concessions made on both sides, that included, negotiation of, amendments and consideration of other amendments. So I think if we attempt to do that, which would probably result in a better outcome for ICANN. But I think if we attempt to do that, the registrars will, be very loud about that. And I don't know what the result of that will be. And I don't really see a negative result from adopting any of the amendments other than the thought or mindset that, well, we've negotiated an amendment on that, we're done with this. So that could lead to a mindset where we're kind of done for a while, which I think you and others are concerned about. But as far as the wording in the amendments themselves and passing them, I don't see a negative result in any of them.
All right, because Kurt, you've obviously seen these statements on the part of NTIA and the IPC and others with regard to specific language and specific amendments, where a whole bunch of us are not satisfied with the wording. We think it's absolutely horrible in some cases. And yet you're still suggesting that the horrible language gets put through just because this is something that the registrars and your team have managed to agree upon.
Well, I think it's better language, and I don't use the word horrible. But I understand your point. And I think it's significant improvement for registrants.
Well, I think what would be judicious for all parties is to see which amendments they have absolutely no problems with and put those things through as a package. And if there is significant dissent on some portions of some amendments, those could certainly go through a PDP process.
Well, how many amendments are there? How many amendments are there that nobody has a problem with?
I'd say the vast bulk.
I have a problem with a lot of them.
Can we be specific? When we talk about having a problem, do we mean they are harmful, or do we mean they are not? They do not go far enough?
Who are you addressing the question to?
I was at, to anyone who's using the term, to who's having, who's participating in this discussion, because I think there's a big difference between being harmful and wrong and not being not addressing the full problem.
All right. Well, let's just point to one example: the final clause in the escrow-related amendment. There were more than enough people that found that particular language to be objectionable.
Yep, including me. So I was on one side of the table, arguing very hard for certain wording there. And we had a very, very detailed discussion about registrar relationships with certain resellers, including Google and Microsoft. And I'm going to sneeze and it's going to hurt. Hang on. No, it's a long, long story. You don't understand. So I hope that was Tim laughing and nobody else. So so we in the negotiations, we ended up with at least now the untenability of enforcing data escrow provisions for escrow data, underlying data or private proxy data for resellers. And therefore, you know, we're left with the agreement language that you see there. So I, you know, I for one, you know, I'm, you know, so let's take that issue. So I, for one, I'm on your, you know, on your side. I'm sort of disappointed in the language, but I fought that with members inside, outside ICANN, and you know, so I'm not always right, and I think the language there is the very best that can be developed. So I, but you know, as far as I think it was Alan's comment about. Pointed policy developments, you know, I think that's a big one because, you know, a lot of those issues are being, you know, discussed across all the constituencies you just mentioned, more than that issue more than any other.
I get, the thing that makes me feel moderately comfortable is the new GNSO voting rules allow a consensus policy to be adopted with a specific stakeholders group, the registrars in this case, being 100% opposed to it. And that says we can end up with targeted consensus policies, which they don't agree to.
Right.
And I think that's how we're going to have to handle the really hard ones, the ones where there are some registrars who just are not going to agree to what we feel is appropriate for the registrant to be protected. That doesn't mean I like what's there now, but it gives me some level of feeling that we might be able to fix it in the future.
Right. Well, that's one thing. You know, there is an alignment across different constituencies. So what you're saying is accurate, but
all right. So where we're at right now is, the position of ICANN legal staff is that the GNSO must vote on this thing as a full package.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, I don't, I'm not sure, the ICANN legal staff's not on this call, so I don't know. But I do know that, or I do think that if they don't, then the registrars and perhaps some other constituencies with similar interests would, you know, say that the ICANN board shouldn't consider a revised set of amendments because it's not done in accordance with the board resolution on that, and not done in the with the understanding that those discussions between registrars and ICANN were undertaken.
It's Alan. I'm working on the assumption that when this goes to the board will ask very pointed questions of ICANN legal counsel. And those discussions have been held, and the answers are prepared for when the board asks them. If, if that's not the case, then this whole thing is a farce.
Right. No, I you're exactly right about that. And you, and there's going to be another public comment period before the board will vote on it.
When is the current, when's this currently scheduled, Kurt?
So, when's the next GNSO meeting, Tim?
January 8th?
Yeah, I don't remember whether this discussion was put off to the January 8th meeting or the one at the end of January.
Yeah, so it's put off to January 8th, I think.
Okay, I think so, but I'm not sure.
So there's two wild cards, right? So you don't know exactly what the GNSO is going to do. And then there's the board meeting schedule is sort of up in the air. It's published for early February. There's talk about moving it forward to discuss certain issues. So I don't know if there'll be one in late January and one in early February, or just one in early January. In any event, starting say January 10th, we would start, you know, at least a 30-day comment period. So that might make the board vote in Mexico City or some meeting before that. There's early February, and then is the next meeting Mexico City?
That is correct.
Yeah, so that seems like the most likely timing for me, Danny.
All right, good. Now, there weren't any adjustments made to picket fence in this last iteration. Alan, are there specific problem areas that you see with the current picket fence that we need to be looking at?
I don't think so. The registrar constituency has formally said that they believe this is legitimate. Whether a particular registrar decides to debate it, we can't stop that, and we can't predict that. From my personal point of view, which has no merit, no legal standing whatsoever, I think the whole thing is defendable under the stability issues.
So the stability issue is kind of a hard trigger to pull sometimes, because we try to pull it, I forget when, but there was some issue we thought there might have been a stability issue, and, you know, you can always frame things up as a stability issue, but it has to be.
Well, given register fly and a million registrations,
yep.
One can make the argument that if registrars don't follow, if there aren't tools to make sure registrars follow rules,
yep.
That we have significant problems. And the contractual ones are the ones that are most likely outside of the picket fence, or one could argue that they might
be.
Right,
I agree.
All right, Kurt, one question, and it goes basically to the subject matter of transparency. Over the course of the last couple of years, we've seen more and more constituencies becoming less and less transparent. It used to be that you could read the IPC mailing archives. It used to be that you could read the registrar discussions.
Uh-huh.
For the last year now, registrars have moved it to a private forum, and the IPC you can't read at all.
Staff's not on that private forum either, I don't think, are we, Tim?
No.
Yeah.
How do we deal with this in view of our own obligations under the bylaws?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I don't know. Let's Tim and I will talk to Denise about it as a starter, and see where the best, you know, and whatever ideas you have for bringing it up as a discussion point. You know, whatever you do, constituencies will always be able to create a.
Well, we know they can always deal on an ex parte basis,
yeah.
But you know, this was a.
I think you're right. I don't know where the best place to have that discussion is, but I'm certainly for having it. So I'll talk to Denise about it, and Denise and I will personally get back to you.
So one thing, Curtis, Liz, I mean, one.
Oh, okay, hey.
Hey, you know, and hey, Danny, how you doing?
Hey, Liz.
You know, one place where I think it does, it is relevant is in the context of the GNSO improvements, and specifically there's a whole section of the GNSO improvements recommendation that deals with the way in which constituencies operate and trying to do a number of things to, first of all, ensure that they are procedures, operating procedures, are transparent and are adhered to and are posted and understood, and that their memberships are posted and understood, and that their ways of developing policy, how they conclude, take the policy positions that they do, would be more transparent. So one way to work on that would be in the context of those particular improvements. And there's a work team that's going to be set up, one of five work teams related to GNSO improvements, that's going to deal specifically with the constituencies. And it might be good to, those work teams, there's an invitation, a wide invitation that's going to go out to the community and participating in all five of the work teams. But that specific issue is going to be in a particular work team that the Operations Steering Committee that Chuck Gomes is currently chairing is going to oversee. So I think that'd be one way to participate in trying to change those rules and try to get everybody on the same page.
If I'm not mistaken, membership in those committees, however, is limited to constituent representatives, correct?
Not the steering committees, but not the work teams where the actual changes are going to be developed.
Oh, okay, fine,
and
thank you.
Those are going to be very widely advertised.
And although the at-large at ALAC is not a constituency, we are explicitly invited in all of those.
Okay, Liz, for what it's worth, you should probably be aware that there is a new constituencies working group formed by the North American Regional. We're trying to respond to the board resolution and to deal with constituency formation, stakeholder group charters, stuff like that. You may want to pop into that list and keep an eye on it, that's all.
Great. Yeah, Rob's been keeping me informed, too, because I know he's watching it pretty closely.
Oh, I've run the gambit of my questions.
What do we as ALAC do at this point to give me advice for the January 8th meeting?
That's up to the ALAC at this point. At least we've had the briefing. They're in a position now to review the.
Danny, I'll make a pointed comment. If you hadn't raised the issue,
it would have gone through.
There would not have been a discussion. So it would be useful if we at least know your position right now and how to play this.
My position right now is that if staff is confident that they can manage the load with this set of amendments, then I would not object to the amendments going forward, with the proviso, of course, that in fact we will have PDP opportunities to correct the damage.
Well, there are two motions on the table right now. The first one is to approve the package. The second one is, assuming it is approved, to start a working group or a drafting team or something to look at what the next processes are for RA amendments. So I can't imagine the first being passing and the second not passing.
Exactly.
Right, but what I can imagine happening, however, Alan, is different constituencies in the GNSO saying, I'm sorry, we just can't accept some of this language. We can't put through an entire package, but
I'm not guaranteeing the GNSO is going to approve it. I'm simply saying if it approves it, then there's a second motion on the table which says we will then look at follow-on activities. So it's not the end of the game, is all I'm saying.
No, I understand that, Alan. I just know from experience dealing with the RGP in particular that plans to be made in 6 years could be going by before you next look at something. It's always the case of the GNSO having
the
too much
GNSO
on its
moves
plate.
In slow ways.
Yeah.
Does anyone know where the noise is coming from on this call?
Well, I hear background noise, so that's not me, but there is noise where I am.
Well, there's noise where I am.
Cheryl, any suggestions?
In terms of a way forward as opposed to noise, yes. The suggestion for the noise is to hit star six. I think we do two things. The first one is, as we discussed earlier before everybody was on the call, other than Tim actually,
I will undertake with staff to directly contact and feed into the general list as well, but to make sure that every person of the ALAC who voted for holding off any response ALAC-wise until this briefing was held and who is not on this call today will get a link to the call page with a whole lot of links as well that Matthias and I and Heidi have been furiously putting together while the call has been going on, with a proposal that the vote be retaken.
But we need to restart that vote by January 1st at the latest then.
That's correct. In fact, I would suggest that we start it. I'll discuss with Matthias when we can start it, but if Heidi's able to start votes, we can do that shortly after Christmas.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to start too early. I prefer to start late in time to have the answer by the 8th, but not too early because the days between New Year's and Christmas are really lost to a lot of people.
I understand that, Alan, but Matthias is not back from his vacation until the 5th, which is too late.
Too late.
So
the bottom line is we are going to hold another vote and try to do some consciousness raising in the interim.
Yeah, I'll go kick butt, yeah.
In the meantime, Kurt, we've obviously got to answer to people that have written to us. We've had a lot of folks writing into the RAA working group expressing a concern about the registrars not listing their primary business address on their website or elsewhere.
Right.
And you came up with an amendment that skirts the issue, that still doesn't require them to put down a primary business address, but instead only contact information.
Yeah.
Can you give us at least the rationale expressed to you by registrars as to why it was inappropriate to move forward along the ways the community expressed?
Before Kurt answers, I raised that issue particularly with Tim Ruiz, and his answer was it was discussed and that is a, quote, a particularly North American viewpoint of things. I don't understand it, but I'm giving the words before Kurt has an opportunity to answer.
Well, so he probably said some more. I don't know if I can answer adequately. What about Tim Cole? Can you speak to it at all?
Well, a couple things. First of all, there are a lot of privacy issues just as there are for registrants, there are for companies sometimes, where they have no problem giving out contact information where they can be reached and to which they will respond. But they, they are not as comfortable putting out a physical address for, the entire world to see on their website. ICANN is acutely aware of that. We've had to hire hire guards at times because of issues that have come up because our address is so public. I think there is no intent from anyone to hide. I think what they're trying to do is say this is the most appropriate contact address and email address, and I think we've gone a long way to address that, and frankly, the IP constituency, which has a concern in terms of the location of the registrar with regard to the UDRP, seemed comfortable with this language.
All right, and the last unrelated question that I would ask, you guys are doubtless aware that in recent weeks the FCC put forward an action dealing with purveyors of malvertisements, things along those lines. One of the names mentioned in the FCC decision was a Daniel Sundin. We also have within the ICANN organization of registrars, Daniel Sundin, who happens to head up Red Registrar. Is this the same bloke or is this a different person?
Take it away, Tim.
At the moment, I have no way of answering that question.
All right. Well, maybe it's something you guys can, at least stick your noses into.
Okay.
It may be a fairly common name, but I don't think it's that common.
Right. Danny, can you send me a link to the specific case you're referring to?
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Great.
All right. This is Tim. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Tim. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate the briefing. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, so what I was going to say is that
there's a vibrant debate going on right now with regard to the registry agreement that I think ALAC should weigh in on.
You're talking about the base contract for new GTLDs?
Yeah.
Okay.
That, you know, think about the environment registrants are heading for.
Oh, yeah.
And so I could argue both sides and on several issues, but I think it's important.
You're talking about above and beyond the price control issue, then?
Right.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Danny, you may as well mention that the working group on the new GTLD Blue Book, as we like to refer it to, because staff bound it for us in hard copy in blue. So when you hear us talk about the Blue Book, it's actually the new GTLD fee process paperwork. We have divvied it up, and Danny happens to have offered to work with Bo on the contracts part of that. So.
All right. I mean, it just brings to mind a very basic question. If the community at large is involved in actually helping to craft the language for a new agreement of a certain stakeholder group, the registries, oh, why on earth couldn't we have had the same approach dealing with the registrars? Why does this thing have to be a two-party negotiation?
Well, I think we're not negotiating with any registries right now. This is a brand-new form of agreement, and there's no new registries.
All right.
And then the existing registries won't be forced to adopt this agreement. And second, I think that we had comment periods for the RAA. We're having a comment period for this. I think it's, I just think it's really important because... you know, it's a contract that is going to, that's going to have to address a changing environment that we're going to have for a long time.
Right. Because I wasn't able to, I had phone problems. I wasn't able to be on the last CRA call. I know Cheryl tried to pose the question for me with regard to the economic study.
Yeah.
Did you guys finally reveal who was doing the study and when you're getting it back?
The great big economic study?
The great big one.
No, I don't think so. I think it's going to be, I think you'll hear more about that. This is not the Kirk Pritz area, so I think you're going to hear more about that in the very, very, very near future because it's got everybody at ICANN's attention. There's drafts of it, but I don't know the exact publication date.
Okay.
It's Sebastian. I know that ALAC will be to vote on those issues. Sorry, Kurt, but you already heard me say something quite similar on the last call about new GTLD, but it's very, very difficult for end users to be able to follow all that issues. And the question about... No, it was not new GTLD conversation. It was about relationship between the split between registry and registrar. Sorry, that's very difficult to follow all that and even to have a position on that. You need to read so much papers and eventually just in English that it's very difficult. I am not saying that you are doing bad work, but it's just difficult. I imagine even listening and taking time to have conversation about RAA today, I am not sure that I am able, even after this call, to understand what it's about, what are the points we need to take into attention as end users, and that's we need to do something like that to allow even people a little bit more involved than just the end users, that the people from the RALO are more to the ALAC, and we are just taking one subject and just be aware of that. And I don't know how to solve it, but I know that it's a question.
And that's an excellent description of the problem, because if you start at us sitting around the table discussing nuances of several of these issues and then trying to make that into some sort of paper so people in the RALOs and everybody can participate, You know, that how to like encapsulate the issue and capture it so that people can discuss it. Well, gosh, that's, I don't know. That's, if there's an area where I think we all need to work on it, it's trying to solve that.
It's not clear that we have, that there's likely an answer. I've now been playing this game for 2 years,
yeah,
and you know, in a fair amount of depth, and I still have a hard time keeping track of the details and the issues. I don't think you can get up to speed by reading a bunch of documents in a week.
It's really hard.
I really don't think so. It's just not relevant.
It's one of the reasons I think on subject like this one. I will ask a request to have from my fellow colleagues from ALAC, the one who knows, and I will follow their advice because it's almost impossible to be aware of everything.
You know,
I wanted to ask one question about that's the discussion about the RAA contract, but how it fits with the discussion on PDP currently going on certain part of the relationship between registrar, for example, the IRTP, inter-registrar, transfer policy, and that's the PDPA, if I am not wrong, and there will be or there is some other PDP because it was slice this old policy. How it fit one to each other? Is it something completely different or it is something with some relation?
I can answer that. I mean, the IRTP relates to the RAA, but it was kept out of the discussion on this package of amendments and is being handled through the PDP process. And it was divided into four PDPs just to try to keep each to be a manageable size. So, it, you know, in theory, it could have been part of this RAA package, but thank God we didn't try to do it that way. I think that's the answer. If anyone disagrees, then
wrong. That was part of it. And also, ICANN issued an advisory how it interpreted the transfer policy. You know, Danny brought up the issue before of GoDaddy and how we were handling that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went through a couple iterations of how we interpreted the transfer policy and the issue of, changing who is data and if that could initiate a hole. And then we had quite intense discussions with a few registrars about how they were interpreting it. And, there were several policies, registrar policies that were changed as a result. But then the rest of it is being hit. But the lion's share, as Alan describes, being handled through this PDP.
Okay.
All right. From the staff perspective, if you had your druthers and there was any one particular amendment that you would have wanted to see put through to beef up your own enforcement capabilities, what might that amendment have looked like? Because we've got an opportunity through a PDP process to perhaps bring that into reality.
Okay, so talking as Kurt Pritz, because I don't know if this is possible or not, I think that the escrow registrar data in the last year and a half has been one of the single most significant accomplishments for the protection of registrants. But, and nobody knows the exact number, but, and we're undertaking a survey to find the number out, but it gets us, you know, say 80% of the way there, 75% of the way there. So I think the escrow somehow of as much of the underlying data as possible will serve to provide additional protection for those registrants, understanding that not all escrow data, not all, proxy data can be escrowed because there's third-party escrow services and it's just a marketplace that is in existence. But anyway, that's what I think.
There's no additional powers that you would like to see your own group have with respect to enforcement?
Did you have an idea, Denny?
Well, look, you guys are in the thick of it. You know what you can and can't do based on current interpretations of certain clauses at the moment. I'm just wondering whether you need a broad brush tool.
So, I don't know.
Broad brush tools are not likely to come under the definition of things eligible for consensus policies, unfortunately.
I see. I don't know off the sitting here, I can't think of one. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I mean, there was nothing we sat around and said, God, if we only had this.
Superpowers.
Yeah. Yeah, I've already got those.
Oh dear, well that sounds like a good point to perhaps look at winding this up. Is there any final comments from anyone? Carlton, I heard join. Carlton, are you still with us?
Apparently not.
I didn't hear him drop off. He might be on mute.
Who, me?
Okay. Well,
I think Cheryl, Danny, and I have to get together for a few minutes after this. Is there some way
we can continue
that without with the recording stopping?
I'm happy just to thank Tim, Liz, and Kurt very, very much for the time and energy they've put into this call. And I do think we attempted to find a way forward, and I believe we have now. So that's very important. We do have our next ALAC meeting on the 13th of January. That is where we will have completed the proposed vote by then. And that means that it can feed into the GNSO meeting on the 8th. If that has been agreed.
What you just said doesn't parse, but ignoring that.
If you hear my voice, you will know how well I am.
I understand why. I'm just pointing it out.
We appreciate you.
Are you hearing me now? Are you hearing me now?
Yes, go ahead, Carlton, please.
Oh, thank you. I wanted to ask the question. The RAA agreement that with the amendments, my understanding is that most of these changes that is being proposed is to address issues that came out of a PDP that we're responding to. Am I correct in that?
No.
No. So the amendments now are not addressing issues, sore points that we're seeing with current agreements.
Say that again?
The amendments that are being proposed do not at all address points that issue in current agreements.
I don't know what you mean by points of issue in the current agreements.
The amendments are
addressing issues with the current agreement.
All right. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's
okay.
So the question is, if the amendments, the current agreements are in place with registrars and registrants, but they are not going to be forced to accept these amendments, correct?
No. The amendments that we're talking about will. If the as we discussed before you got onto the call, if the GNSO agrees and then the board, following a common period, ratifies, then it is de facto a consensus policy which all registrars are required to follow.
Oh, I see. So what we're going for is the ratification through GNSO and board.
That's correct.
I see. All right. I understand it.
That's good. Carlton, it's going to be very important that, because you're the only LACRALO representative on this call, that you brief the two RALO representatives, because we will be having a re-vote on the RAA matter. I will be sending, and I'll copy to you because it'll go to the internal list, the details and MP3, et cetera, from this call, so people can get themselves up to speed, because there's been a lot of very valuable
conversation
here today. But the vote will be running between the 2nd and the 8th. In fact, it'll be the 2nd and the 7th. I'll just have to live with that. So we
Tim Cole.
Left.
Point second and the seventh. Okay.
All right. Very well.
Yeah, we just make. Excuse me, Cheryl. We just need to make sure.
Left.
We need to make sure that the vote closes before the GNSO meeting actually is held.
Which is the 8th, which is why I'm...
Yes, but I don't know. The timing is of issue because of around the world.
If it runs to the 7th and your meeting's on the 8th, isn't that fine?
That should be fine. If it runs to the 7th in Europe, yes.
Okay, so it'll be running from the 2nd because that's the first day staff are back. Right? And it'll be running to the 7th of January.
Yeah. Hold on. I think I even have the time.
Just while Alan's looking that up, it's really very important, Carlton, that two things happen. First of all, that everyone does actually do their vote, even though it's an inconvenient time of year. But secondly, we had quite a number of people vote to hold off on any decision until we had this briefing. In that vote aren't on this briefing, so we really need to make sure.
None of the people who voted against it, I believe, are on this briefing.
I've been following the discussions on the list. It's unfortunate, but quite frankly, I've already told you what my position was on this. To me, it's an enforcement problem, and unless the enforcement gets up to speed, this is an exercise, and that's my considered opinion.
But part of these amendments give ICANN enforcement options that are not there today.
That's debatable, but I quite understand.
No, that is not debatable. Right now, the only option is to decertify.
Yeah, well, I've already put up my position on this, but I will ensure that whatever comes through, I will personally forward it to our representatives to make sure that they get a sense of what's happening.
And I
support the process.
And most importantly, that they do take the time to review the MP3 of this meeting and of the notes that will come out as well.
Yeah.
Cheryl, the January 8th meeting starts at 1900 UTC.
Okay, so if we close on the 7th at... midnight on the 7th, midnight UTC on the 7th.
Or noon on the 8th is fine, if that helps any.
Okay, if you're happy for 1200
UTC. Noon UTC.
Okay. I'll just type that in because Heidi and Matthias are busy, working on this while this call is going on, so I'm just updating them.
is there any reason we can't start the vote now? And have it go for 14 days or whatever the right number of days is to end at the right time?
Only because you said you didn't want to have it happen too early.
No. I don't want it to end before people come back from the New Year's vacation, is what I meant.
I'll probably be very happy to start it sooner.
Yeah, with a longer period.
Okay. Bye.
Okay.
Hi, Matthias, did you catch that?
I did.
Okay.
Do we still have ICANN staff people on this call?
Yes.
No, they've left. No, I meant Liz and Tim and I just don't want. I don't want to keep them here if.
They've left.
Okay. Danny, what process wise do you think we should do to get this discussion going again?
I think we've sent a note indicating that a briefing was held, that transcripts or recordings are available, that a vote will be commenced on the topic, and that as participants in this discussion, our consensus view is, and put it out there. My own take on it at the moment is that while I remain extremely dissatisfied with a lot of the language in quite a few of the clauses. I think there's a greater concern to which we need to heed, and that is that the public at large generally believes that ICANN's house is not in order, and as such, they are very reluctant to move forward with things like the new GTLD process and getting that house in order as expeditiously as possible, I think takes precedence over fine-tuning of the language.
Okay, Cheryl, if I'm correct, we're talking about holding the vote again, excluding the defer option, but the rest of it I think remains the same,
right.
Although I'll double-check the wording.
Thank you.
Is that correct?
Yes, correct. One thing that Matthias has asked is that particularly earlier on when we were looking at the various subsections of the RIA original contracts from 2001, etc., he's unsure that his notes are going to do justice to the conversation. I suggested that two things could happen. First of all, Alan and you, Danny, could perhaps do a short synopsis from your perspectives on what we have agreed or achieved or discussed in this call to assist staff putting together an accurate set of notes. But the second thing I would like to suggest is that these notes come back to those of us who have been on this call to agree that that is a true and accurate record of what we heard and what was discussed before it goes up onto the wiki.
With regard to the first point, Cheryl, I think to make it easier for staff, you simply need to point to Section 5.14 and Section 5.4 of the contract and indicate that discussions with regard to nuances of contract language took place.
Yeah, and the consensus was it would not be practical to pursue those clauses as ways of getting these changes made.
Okay, well, I can go to the end of this transcript then to get that exact language. That's fine. The concept of us not quite signing off but agreeing that the notes that are put together are a true and accurate record of the call, I think, is important because not everyone will be able to go through 70 or nearly 80 minutes of call and find exactly what they want to hear. You're all happy to, including you, Carlton, to get copied in direct email before it goes to the list?
Yes, that would be good, because I tell you, I have a difficulty getting the MP3 downloads. I don't know why. It doesn't work for me. So I always look at the transcripts.
Sure. Okay, well, I think that's our best way forward then. If that's fine with staff, Heidi, Matthias, are you able to make that magic happen?
Sure, yeah. Should be able to.
Okay.
Cheryl, you said you're going to send out the summary email. Is that what I understood?
Correct.
Okay. I would suggest that the lead-off paragraph or two summarize the situation. That is, people looking at the first screen will understand what it is we're asking without having to scroll down through all of the pointers and references.
Sorry, now I'm confused.
I'm suggesting that we say what's happening and what we're going to be asking them in the first paragraph or two, not at the bottom of a two-page email.
Sure. Yep. And I think I've sent them, the staff, most of the relevant links off the ICANN site to various discussions and to the actual details of the contract and the amendments, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll put links in rather than long pieces of...
Yeah, no, I'm just suggesting that we put the salient part before with the links, otherwise people's eyes glaze over.
Yep. Well, mine are certainly glazing over. that's just me at the moment. All right, is there anything else we need to do before we wrap up then?
What time is it there, Cheryl?
It is now 20 past 8 in the morning, and I've been speaking to people since 6 a.m.
Congratulations. I look forward to seeing whatever it is I have to approve.
Okay. All right, then. And then I'll make sure that individual emails are also sent to every one of the people who voted in and who are not on this call.
And, Cheryl, where do I find Bo's wiki page on the new GTLDs? I can never find
this
stuff.
Not
here.
One I can answer.
Danny?
It's yeah.
It's on the ALAC page under working groups.
ALAC
they,
page under working groups?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to not having all of those wikis, but just having the ALAC page and then, you know, proper little microsites and things underneath it.
Yeah,
so much.
Twice.
All right, so I'm going to the ALAC page, then I'm going to Working Wiki, then I'm going to Working Groups?
Well, yeah, you're on the ALAC Wiki, then you go to At Large Policy Working Groups.
Okay.
And then you're going to New GTLD Policy. That's the one you were referring to, right? In the
correct.
Online workspace. All
right. Then I'm going to the online workplace.
Yes.
Okay, then the working wiki for the ALAC statement is next. I'm not seeing
I don't know. You have to ask Bo what he wants to do with it. I just did the research page.
All right. Because at the moment, I'm not seeing anything actually filled in. So,
Danny, perhaps contacting Bo would also be handy there.
All right. Okay, we'll do.
Well, thank you very much, all. I guess this is our last opportunity to wish both Matthias and Hardy a very safe, healthy, and happy and restful break. Heidi must feel like she's dumped in the deep end and then we've thrown her a couple of bricks to carry.
Well, I'm afraid we will talk to each other tomorrow.
Exactly.
I know we're going to talk on the summit tomorrow, but from the summit is going to probably not offer us the amount of time to give from an executive committee point of view. Certainly our heartfelt thanks for the enormous amount of work you're both doing, and particularly with Nick away, you're carrying a lion's share, particularly with all the summit work that's going on as well. So if we don't get to say it tomorrow, please do be very aware that we all greatly appreciate not just the standard amount of work you do, but the above and beyond the call of duty stuff that you're doing as well. So thank you both so much, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. And that will be our last call for this year, correct? The summit call tomorrow is the last one for this year?
Before you go, Cheryl, can I ask Matthias, do you the guide to the new GLTL, the applicant guidebook, do you have a distribution in Spanish?
No, there's only a French version and an English.
And English,
version.
I'm just confirming that. Would we have one in Spanish?
Yeah. Well, the idea was to ask Vanda because if we ask for translation.
No. He's talking about the whole book.
Oh, the whole book. Oh, yeah. This is one. Yeah,
it's
yeah,
being published in about 8 or 9 different languages.
Yeah this one. Well, we have it in Spanish. It's on the public comment page. You can just go
okay.
to the new GTLD page that we have in Spanish.
No, the follow-up question is the comments that you put out on the elements that you think might be of interest. It's in English and French. Is there one of that in
Vanda was going to do one in Spanish, but if you would like to do it in Spanish faster than she can, just let us know.
I am not a native Spanish speaker, as you know.
Well, then we best leave it with Vanda, and we might poke her with a sharp stick to make sure she gets onto it.
Yeah, I just want to know so I can put it out. You know they're going to moan
That's
about
right.
it.
No, look, basically, Carlton, Sebastian was just so
yes.
getting his out.
Joined.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you.
Bo, is that you?
Yes.
Hi, Bo.
Hello.
Well,
okay.
Are you joining us for the last meeting or a new one we don't know about?
We'll see y'all.
Hi, Carlton.
The RIA meeting, I'm late to it, right?
Yeah, it's over.
Carlton Samuels.
Left.
Yeah, we're just winding up. Staff have left. We had Tim and Liz and Kurt on the call. I think remaining from the at-large world is myself, Alan, and Danny and Sebastian.
Oh, you're about to have a executive committee meeting. Okay, well...
No,
that was earlier.
Oh.
Yeah, that was much earlier.
So speaking of which, Cheryl, did the executive committee come up with a methodology to get items on the agenda?
Yes, we have.
Okay.
So, seeing as you've dialed in, I think it would be quite useful with both Danny and Alan on the call to give you a quick synopsis and review, and I'll step back from the phone and let them do that, mainly because I need to desperately go and take something else for my sore throat.
A Deagle operator.
Left.
Okay, it's not, that means we've probably finished the tape as well, but that's fine. So who wants to do that, Alan and Danny?
I can.
Go ahead, Alan.
Go ahead.
Essentially, we're back where we started a few weeks ago, and the consensus at this point is the staff confirm that indeed the legal options seem to be the GNSO accepts the package as a package, or we start on a PDP process on bits and pieces one by one. That everyone is dissatisfied with the current RAA package, amendment package as worded, but there's a sufficient good in it and not sufficient that is explicitly objectionable, that the consensus seems to be that it should be approved and go on from there. That is, there's much missing. There's some that is perhaps wrong, but nothing that's really very dangerous. And that there's far more common good to be served in giving ICANN the tools and ability to enforce contracts, especially as we go forward into new GTLDs and more registrars, that it's a position that we should take advantage of.
The one clause in there that allows a registrar not to escrow data is downright dangerous. But with that said,
I think I used the word sufficiently dangerous.
Yeah, okay. All right. But with that said, Bo, I'm putting forward the point of view right now that the public, at least through the new GTLD process, is really concerned about ICANN's house not being in order. And I think that for better or worse, it's more important to take whatever steps we can to get that house in order quickly, and then argue about fine-tuning the language thereafter.
Yeah.
So
I guess that's especially what's been the reaction to this? Is taking us off the topic of RIA, but what was the reaction to the U.S. Department of Commerce letter on new GTLDs?
No one had the nerve to bring that up.
Oh, really?
I certainly wasn't going to.
I didn't want to turn it into a hornet's nest.
Well, when you started to say get ICANN's house in order, I mean,
well, that might have been a pointer to it.
Left.
All right. Okay. Well, I wished I'd been on for the briefing, but since the holidays are coming,
the MP3 should be posted soon.
I will listen to it. So thanks for the synopsis. I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay.
Two things just before you go. Sorry. We won't actually get the notes for this out until probably tomorrow because staff have really got to finish a whole lot of stuff for the summit, which is time critical, before they do the actual synopsis from this call. So just be aware that there's going to be a slight delay on that, and that may include posting the MP3. I'm not sure about that.
Oh, okay.
And the other thing was a question Danny had, which while you're both online, you may as well sort out now. Unless Danny's left.
No, Danny's here.
Okay. Danny, you were drilling down through the wiki and
wondering... I was drilling down through the wiki trying to find out where conversation is actually happening at the moment. on new GTLDs by the community, and if I'm having a problem finding my way through the wiki, I would imagine the rest of the entire world is having the same problem. Is the wiki, in fact, the best place where we can do this work?
Well, that's a matter of, I mean, this question comes up pretty much on everything. Personally, like Adam Peak, I prefer doing stuff by email, but I don't know that...
we may outvote you on this, Cheryl.
It's pretty easy to... I find that it's pretty easy to just use the comment field at the bottom of that. Did you see the page that Matthias sent around?
Uh-huh.
I mean, if nothing else, people can just use that.
Well, I think that's preferable. When you have 17 people editing a document, whoever gets there last is he who controls what's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, did you see that? Did you get a copy of the link that Matthias sent us?
Yeah, that's the one that went point by point in each one of the module sections.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
Now, finding that document, I thought was some.
Well, yeah.
So we may want to send out. You know, I can send out another. I can send out something to the list that says, if you're looking for the new GTLD page, the brand new page is here. I don't mind doing that. I can certainly do that.
I hope when we finish this or get close to pulling it all together, we're focusing on, are we saying the important things, not are we addressing every one of the bullets?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, I'm trying to look at this from a big picture point of view, and I'm saying to myself, there are micro communities of users. An example would be IGOs, right? IGOs, at the moment, they're lucky because they happen to have their own namespace, .int, managed by the IANA. It costs them absolutely nothing. There's no registration fees involved whatsoever, and yet their needs are being served. And that particular approach is not being accepted during the first round, but if we move into a second round situation, I think it's important for these micro communities of users to have cost-effective options available mm-hmm. in order to get themselves TLDs for their own limited, unique purposes.
I'm not disagreeing.
That's simply not the point that's addressed in the module, per se, you know?
I just see there's a tendency for us to identify things that we don't like but are not really going to be the come-down-to-the-crunch issues that are going to disenfranchise large groups of people.
Yeah, well.
This whole realistically speaking, this whole process is going to get laid off again, isn't it? Somehow?
If they can find a face-saving way to do it, I would think yes, but...
Yeah, I mean, given the... Yeah, the face-saving is key.
I'm not sure what... It's going to happen, but I think what we've done in the XCOM meeting earlier this morning, we still have it for decision and discussion. With the draft needs to be up and linked to the January agenda. So we will assume that we will be putting in our comments by the January close of comments for other languages, as originally planned, we would all believe that, based on the DOC letter, something else will happen. But we can't put money on it. That's for sure.
It's just rather unfortunate that most of the points in the DOC letter could have been made any time over the last year or year and a half
on
the GNSO policy and the very comment periods. It didn't need to wait for the implementation guidelines. Most of them. Pricing is one that did, but...
To tell you the truth, Alan, I was at the very first GNSO meeting on the topic in
mm-hmm.
Washington. I was the only user representative there, and this is going back, I guess, over 2 years ago now. And Suzanne Sen from Department of Commerce was there, and she was making comments at that point.
Okay, that was before my time.
Yeah.
But formal comments, I meant.
Yeah, well, okay.
I mean, a lot of what is in their thing has been said at the table. It's not that these
ideas
are new.
Even the early Alex statement on it said some of the things that were
yeah. So it's
on the second page.
You know,
Exactly. But
coming from them on paper is a different issue. Has this call gone on long enough?
It has from me, and I'm sure it has as well.
Cheryl, do you know if your own government is planning on weighing in on the discussions?
I do know.
Okay.
I think the U.S. Department of Commerce comment should be rejected because it came too late. Came past the official deadline.
On the 18th, no less.
It depends if you are sure that it's in English.
Yes, perhaps they think they're answering from another language's perspective.
It was government, but it was English.
Yes.
Goodbye, all.
Adios.
Hi, all. Thank you very much for all the time and energy you've put in again. And for those of you who have celebratory parts to their life at the moment, travel safe and enjoy what break you can get.
I'm celebrating not having any ICANN calls for 2 weeks.
You almost probably.
Well, a week and a half anyway.
ICANN calls for 2 weeks.
Okay, bye, all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Danny.
Left.
Alan.
Left.
Cheryl.
Left.
Heidi.
Left.
Zeb.
Left.